Take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6 tonight. Judges chapter 6, and we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Of course, all of them are my favorite. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. I think you ought to love the Bible. I think you ought to love the Bible more than you love chocolate. Amen. You'll love the Bible more than you love burritos and sushi and all the rest. And some of you have no problem with that part of it. But we should love the God's Word. It's wonderful. And God is good to us. And as we read here in this chapter, God teaches us how that we deal with stress during times of fear. And I really, when I read this passage, I almost laugh when I read it. Look at verse 11, please. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah. That's not Oprah, that's Ophrah. That pertained unto Joaz the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said to him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present and set it before thee." And he said, "I will tarry until thou come again." Thank you, and you may be seated. What happens if you're ever asked to do something for God when you are extremely afraid? What do you do? How do you respond? How do you deal with that? What if God were to ask you right now to quit your job and give up everything you got and serve him full time in ministry? What would you do? That'd be a scary thing. Some people might say, "Well, you know, in this economy right now, how would we respond? How do we deal with that kind of thing?" What if God were to ask you to go talk to your neighbor, and you're scared to death that if you were to say something to him, he might not listen or she might not listen? How would you deal with that? Because the truth of the matter is, fear brings stress to our lives. It really does. Have you ever noticed that whenever you have fear, that when you get fear and like you're afraid, and let me explain to you how this really works. As many of you probably know, my least favorite place to go in all the world is the dentist. I think the dentists are the worst people in all the world. In fact, I think when we go to hell, all the dentists of the world will be in hell. And their job is going to be to drill everybody's mouth while they're down there as punishment. I'm only joking, obviously. You'd have to read that in the Greek to get that, all right? But have you ever noticed, when I go into the dentist office, I start that awful queasy feeling in your stomach starts on the way up to the office. And when you get in there and you sit down, and you tell them your name, and they said, "The doctor will be with you in a minute." I said, "Tell him to take his time." And you ever notice they have water fountains there? That's to try to calm you down. Doesn't do a bit of good for me. And then you go inside and you they said, "Come on in," you sit down, and then dentist, he does all the little things to your mouth, and he opens your mouth and sticks every instrument you can imagine down your throat, and then he asks you questions in the meantime while he's doing it. And then he says, "Well, we're going to have to drill that tooth out." And all of a sudden, I just tense up, man. And I mean, I remember one day I had this thing done in my tooth, and it was like an hour and 15 minutes. I felt like I was fighting this guy with all I got. And when I got done, all the tension in my body, I mean, I was just like, you know what I'm talking about, right? You ever felt that way? That was what we're looking at in this chapter. Here we have Gideon. Israel had been in rebellion to God for 43 years. They had turned their back on God, and the story in the book of Judges has always been a story of Israel's continual rebellion and God's consistent grace. God had raised up 13 judges to deliver them. We don't find any prophets there because they had rejected all of the prophets, although we do find one or two interspersed throughout. But in this history, it was a time that was tragic and horrible. And God decided that he was going to use Gideon as one of his leaders. He was not a judge. Because this time period was a time where there was no leaders. In fact, the theme of the book of Judges is found in chapter 17 and verse number 6, where it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." It sounds vaguely familiar to today's society. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. The Midianites had now surrounded the nation of Israel, and they were a coalition of different countries. They gathered together around Israel during the harvest time, because that was the time which now they would let them go out, they would harvest their crops, and they were going to now go in and take everything they had away from them and literally starve the nation to death. And here we find Gideon. Gideon was there, and it's really interesting because Gideon, instead of being down at the threshing place where they would thresh, which was outside, and they had a place where they would thresh wheat outside, he was inside the wine press. So he was indoors, he was hid out because he was afraid of the Midianites. And he had hid out, and what happened was, when he hid, and he was in there doing the threshing, and obviously there wasn't much crop because he was there in a small place. He was threshing this wheat when God sends an angel. And what is so funny is when God comes up to him, God says, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." He's no mighty man of valor. He's the biggest chicken you ever found in the Old Testament. Here he was hid out in the wine press instead of out there in the threshing floor out in the field, ready to do business. He was scared to death. I believe he had that same sensation I have every time I go into the dentist's office. The difference was, I know the dentist is trying to help me. The Midianites are not trying to help. They're trying to destroy him. And when God showed up, you talking about stress, Gideon had it. He was in tremendous stress. Obviously, he did not know what he was going to do, but God spoke to this fearful, weak man in a time when the nation of Israel needed leaders. God called him. How was he able to respond to that? Remember, it wasn't his idea. I think he would have been happy to stay in the wine press and thresh wheat. But the problem was not going to be cured in the wine press. God had an answer for the nation. 43 years they've been oppressed. 43 years of horrible tragedies. But now God's going to raise up Gideon. The least likely, God raised him up. And here's what God says: "I want you to do my bidding for the nation of Israel." Now, you talk about stress. All of a sudden, his stress load now really escalated. But God. See, that's the problem. We have too many "but God" answers. But God, you don't understand. I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot to offer God. None of us have anything to offer God. We have nothing to offer Him. He has everything to give to us. In fact, I'm reminded of what Job said. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I go out of this world. We don't have anything. We're only here for a short time, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years, and that's it. And our life is over. It's just like a vapor in light of eternity. No, we don't have anything to offer, but He has everything to offer us. But here we find that God teaches us what I'm going to call three acknowledgments. He had to acknowledge some things. And here we find that for this man, Gideon, this acknowledgement allowed him to overcome these fears in his life. And when we look at it, I think it's pretty amazing. Write this one down. Here's the first acknowledgement. Number one, he knew the chastening of the Lord. When God came to him and called him, he knew that God was chastening Israel. He was aware of that. This wasn't anything for him to be kind of caught off. He knew. In fact, can I get you to turn with me and notice in verse number 9 and 10? Well, let's back up to verse 8 of the same chapter. That the Lord sent a prophet of the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. There's the reason. They refused to obey God. And you do realize that God loves us and God wants us to be obedient children. Proverbs says it like this, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. You see, God says that no doubt about it, that when we're getting out of sorts with God, or we get off the path from God, or we get away from God, that God's going to bring some chastening. He wants us to come back. He wants us there. And you know, we hear this, you know, often, you know, about, okay, the fact we're once saved, always, absolutely. And that's a guarantee by God because we're kept by the power of God. Amen? But here's the other thing. Keep this in mind, though. That when we get off track, man, we have a God that's going to chasten us to get us back. And when God chastens us, it's just like we were to do the same to our children as a father would to a son. He knew that. He knew the reason why that they were under attack. He knew the reason why they were going through what they were going through. He knew it was the chastening hand of God Almighty. Couple thoughts to keep in mind. Number one, they ignored God's messenger. God had sent him a prophet, they just ignored him. They did not listen to what he had to say. A prophet is commanded to preach the word of God and give forth an authoritative divine message. And by the way, tonight, that's my job too as a pastor. In fact, Paul writes in 2 Timothy where he says this. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they shall heap to their own lusts. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now my job is to preach the book. Preach the word. Preach it when no one wants to hear it and preach it when everybody wants to hear it. Preach it when it's popular and preach it when it's not popular. And I'm going to tell you the reason why America, listen to me tonight, and I'm convinced of this, the reason why Solano County is at 12% unemployment. The reason why we're in the economic disaster we're in America is because we have ignored God's messengers. And I don't mean just preachers. I mean, not just me. I'm talking about just preachers in general. We've ignored the messengers of God. Because I'm going to tell you this. I'm convinced we are under a curse of God as a country. Just like the nation of Israel, we are there. You can call it what you want. You can say that we're in a bad recession. I'm convinced we're moving into a depression. I think we are. Now, that's my opinion, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to tell you this, it's bad. But there's nothing that is bad that God can't correct if we'll just learn to understand what God's telling us. There's people out here scared to death right now. Scared about their jobs, or scared about everything else, about their homes and all the rest. And I feel for seniors as they're getting up in years, and now they're talking about taking Medicare away and all these other different things that we're struggling with and all of that. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, you know, here these people have lived their entire life investing in something, and now the government wants to try to take it away. You know, it is so sad, the kind of time period we live in. And the reason why that we're in such stress and so much fear today is because we've ignored God's messengers. We are more interested in listening to what the courts have to say than what God has to say. Not only have they ignored God's messengers, but they ignored God's message. God's words are clear. The message itself, it wasn't just the messenger, but it was also the message. God is now sending a judgment and chastening a nation to turn back to God, as it says in verses 9 and 10. And here's Gideon, who if he would have trusted God, he could have been out there threshing the wheat. At the threshing floor, he's hiding down in the wine press, ignoring the faith that he could have in God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Can we believe in God? So where does faith come from? Where do we get faith from? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What was the problem? They were ignoring God's word. They were ignoring what the prophet had said. That God had already said it. Go back to chapter 2. We won't take time to look at it. Go back to chapter 2. The opening part of chapter 2 is God had sent a prophet down to tell them about this. They ignored the prophet. They ignored the message of the prophet. And the reason why that God had brought this chastening hand is because of those two facts. And now Gideon's hiding out, and God says, Gideon, I got something I want you to do. I got something I think you need to take care of for me. I want you to take care of it for me. The reason why that he knew that he could overcome that is because he knew that God was right for chastening the nation. But tonight, we need to be aware of the fact that God is always right in his decisions. I'm convinced of that. You know, we may be under stress when it comes to fearful things that bring fear to our life and all that, and we understand. I'm very mindful of that. But I also need to know that God is always right in his decisions. And Gideon came to that place because now he knew that God was chasing the nation, and the reason why is because they've done these two things. But let's move on. We must hurry. I told you I want to keep this short, so if we listen quick, I'll preach quick, all right? Number two, write this one down. He knew the calling of the Lord. He knew God had called him. But the strange thing is, did you notice his reaction? It sounded almost reminiscent of Moses, didn't it? Did you notice that? Notice here we have the man, and notice Gideon's weak reaction. God was being humorous when he said, thou mighty man of valor. He wasn't any mighty man of valor. That mighty man of valor means he was a man of war. He was a warrior. That's what the word means. Certainly was it. But he began to question what God was doing. Did you notice that? He said, well, if God's with us, then why is all this stuff happening to us? He's questioning about God. Is God just? Is God right? What about all this blessing? And what about these miracles we heard about in the past? What about we heard about Moses and all these miraculous things? You tell us that you're here, God, but we don't see any of that right now. We're about to lose everything we got. We're going to die. Obviously, not been spending any time with God. Amen. He just neglected the things of God, because we know that when we start getting a twisted perspective of God, it's because we've not spent time with God. Anytime you get away from God, you're going to have a twisted perspective. You'll find yourself start listening to what Fox News tells you about God, or what somebody else tells you about God, rather than what God says about himself. And here Gideon, he was offering these weak excuses in verse 15. He says, don't you know that my family, I mean, we're a bunch of poor folks. We're living on the side here. We're poor. We don't have much. And I'm just a baby in a bunch and all of that. And I'm telling you right now, what God says is, man, you're the perfect candidate. This past week when I was outdoor knocking, I met several people that said, I just don't go to church. I said, that is great. You're the perfect person we're looking for. I remember one guy said to me, why did you say that? I said, because you don't have anything to unlearn. Just come and learn about God. You don't have to worry about all the other things. I mean, think about it. Here's a man that God says that you're a mighty man of valor. And I really believe that what he was trying to do was project a vision for him, and he didn't even see it. Gideon's weak reaction, but then there's God's divine enablement. It's often been said that God's commandments are God's enablements. Once God has called and commissioned us, all we have to do is obey by faith, and he'll take care of the rest. Gideon had to learn that. Faith then means obeying God in spite of what we see, how we feel, or what the consequences are. Might be. Can I say that one more time? Faith means obeying God in spite of what we see, how we feel, or what the consequences might be. Now listen to me carefully tonight. Here's what I'm convinced of. Now we're adults. We've lived in the world. Some of us live for a while, longer than others. But as we live in this world, here's what we do. We like to make decisions based on what the results are going to be. And sometimes it's very wise to do that. It is. It's very wise. You know, like if I take this job and it's going to cause me to move away, how's that going to affect my church? Or how's that going to affect my family? Or you know, all of those kind of things. That's wise. That's very wise. But when it comes to faith, you can't do that. Because faith is not reasoned. Faith is trust in God. Are you with me? You guys follow me? See, we like to plug in what we're used to doing humanly. Everything is all about reason. Well, I'll make that decision based on what seems reasonable and how the consequences are going to come out. Am I going to benefit from that? You say, how does that plug in? Well, whatever God asks us to do, leave that up to God with the results. For example, what if God were to ask you to give 10% next week? I don't know if I can buy groceries next week. Let me ask you a question. Is God big enough to take care of that? Amen. Obedience in faith means trusting God and let God take care of the results. God wouldn't ask you to do anything you can't do anyway. God gives us divine enablement. You know the reason why we never get to that place where we start tithing, or where we get to that place where we start doing things like that, is because we've never grown in faith enough to do that. I can tell you what my first year that I was in California, and I was shocked when I came out here how much everything was. I moved here in October of 87. I could not believe it. I went down and says, you know what, I'm going to get me a California driver's license, man. I went down there and I went into the DMV, and here's what they said, $385. Well, I left New Mexico and I paid $20 for everything. And I said, why $385? Because I'm thinking 20 bucks, you know, I'm just going to give them some cash. Here's what they said, reciprocity tax. I said, what's that mean? It says, you come from out of state, you come in, we're charging you for the tax of where you paid for it. And I didn't have much of a card then. Like, reciprocity. I had to go home and look that word up. And they said, we don't care if you understand or not. All we know is this. If you want your tags, it's $385. Period. Because, you know, that's kind of how they talked to me. And I said, okay. Faith. But I know one thing. God called us here and God took care of us. If God calls you, God will take care of you. That's God's divine enablement. That's God's business. And then we must understand one more thing. And not only does, if he's going to overcome these things, he had to acknowledge, number one, that he knows that God's chasing the nation. Number two, that God, he knew God's calling. And number three, write this one down, I'll be done. He knew the commitment of the Lord. Realize that God had made a commitment to him. You know, as we make commitment to God, do you realize that God makes a commitment back to us? And God was making a commitment to him. I mean, when my wife and I, we got married, we made this commitment to each other, you know, to respect and love one another and all that. And we you know, it's mutual. But God made a commitment to Gideon here, and here were three commitments he made. Write these down and I'll be done. Number one, God's presence. Here's what God says. God says, you're not going to go into this war alone. You're not going to be by yourself, Gideon. I'm going to be with you. God's presence was necessary, and having the God of the impossible makes things possible. He was there. God took him through whatever it was. I like what Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are what? Possible. I like Philippians 4:13, don't you? I can do all things through Christ what? Who strengtheneth me. But with God, I can go through it. Honestly, I know it sounds really weird to you. Some of you probably think you're crazy. But when I go to the dentist's office, I pray those prayers. Help me through this. I can't stand it. God's presence. Look, there are other fears that we have in our life. All of us have those. Gideon was afraid. But at this point, Gideon didn't know what was around the corner, did he? Because do you remember what happened in the end of this story? How many people did he have in his army? 300. How many did he fight against? 140,000. He didn't know about that yet. But so what God was asking him to do, and by the way, have you noticed something? God doesn't reveal everything to you at once. He just kind of lets you make your own decisions in steps of faith. He just wants you to get a little bit further down the road. Then you're going to see it. And so here it was. God says, look, Gideon, you will do what I ask you to do. I'm going to be with you. And can I tell you this tonight? God would never ask you to knock on a door. He's not going to be with you. He would never ask you to teach a Sunday school class. He's not going to be with you. He would never ask you to do anything. He will not be with you. And you may be afraid, and I have fears too. And I've had some people say, you know, I can never stand in front of people. I'd be scared to death. I can understand that. I don't have that problem. Jordana doesn't have that problem. Others of us don't. But we can do that. But then we're afraid of other things. But I will tell you this. Those of us who try to serve God and live for God and walk with God, we need God's presence just like anybody else who does anything else for him. But second of all, he promises his grace to Gideon. Verses 16 to 18, I call your attention back there in Judges. When Judges, where God says, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said to him, if now I have found grace in thy sight. He gave him his grace. Grace is that which God freely gives to those who are willing to respond in Him. In fact, the truth of the matter is, grace is for everybody. It's just those who respond are the ones that benefit from it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells me, and he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." You know why? God's grace. God says, "You're scared to death? You're stressed with fear? I'm going to give you grace. You do what I ask you to do, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to be with you, I'm going to give you grace." And then thirdly, one more. God says, "I'm going to give you security." Can I get you to look at verse 23? Notice what it says. "And the Lord said to him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not what? Die." Here's what God said. He gave him assurance. He says, "You know what? You're going to go in, you're going to fight that 140,000 army that you're scared to death of." He says, "You're not going to die. I'm going to take care of you." Hey, by the way, if God were to say, "Look, I want you to go out and stand in front of a freight train. You're not going to die." Now, God wouldn't ask you to do that. But don't you think it'd be pretty secure to let God tell you you're not going to die? He knew that. Because God made a commitment to him that when you go into the war, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to give you my grace. And my commitment to you is that I'm going to secure you and protect you. You're not going to die, so don't be afraid. Now, let me ask you this. Did Gideon readily accept what God said? Not yet. Not yet. Remember, he had put out a little fleece here and there. He made a sacrifice, and God sent the fire down and that sacrifice, and he said, "Okay, God, well, let me put out some more fleece here." And he put out a fleece here. Remember what he did? He negotiated with God. I really believe that he wasn't certain about all this, but he took a little step in the right direction. It was then, when he took those steps, and God says, "Okay, now I want you to go down and fight the Midianites." Gideon, I think Gideon was a little bit taken back, a little apprehensive, because he only had 32,000 soldiers. And when he packed them up and he was getting his soldiers ready, he went down and God said, "You got too many." Wait a minute. 32,000 against 140,000. God, how's it too many? I think we're a little bit short here. God says, "Yeah, you got too many." He says, "You go back and you say, if any of those guys are afraid and scared and fearful like I am," he says, "here's what I want you to do. Tell them they can go back home. 22,000 left. Now we're down to 10,000. Great odds, right?" God said, "Still have too many." I'm sure Gideon's probably scratched his head this way. "Now look, God, you kind of took me through a lot of this already, okay? We're getting down to 300. He said, "You go down to the lake," and he says, "you go down and let them all drink, and those who lap like a dog," he said, "let them go. But those who dip their hand in the water and lift it up like they're surveying the water, those are the people I want you to use in the battle." And I'm sure Gideon's thinking, man, all 10,000 of you better hang in there. But only 300 did that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You talk about being afraid. You talking about stress. This is survival. But God did an amazing thing on that day. Because one thing I want you to keep this in mind, always this. You and God make a majority. Always do. You never lose when you're on God's side. Never get on the world's side, because here's what the Bible says. If we love the world, we're at enmity with God. And I don't ever want to be with the world against God. Because God's going to take care of that. That's where Gideon marched in, and he won the victory through the power of God. You know why? Because he knew these three things. He acknowledged them. God's chastening. No doubt about it, God was chastening. He knew God called him, and he knew that God had committed to be there for him. Truly, truly an amazing thing. If you ever find yourself stressed out in fear, keep this in mind. God has some things he wants to tell you. We need to stop, step aside, and let God speak to us. Maybe there's some acknowledgement he has, but I'm going to tell you this, on the last acknowledgement, he's given that to every one of us here. He's made commitments to us. He'll be with us. He'll give us his grace, and he'll secure us every time. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,